Levendig.
It's the Levendig.
Levendig.
In the Herzig Levendig. We do something like this. Should be a shalom.
What?
Just a shalom aleichem. Why not? Or not? Whatever you want. Yeah. All right, Tabo say, Guten Erev Shabbos. Guten Erev Shabbos, Eschus. Eschus, Baruch Hashem, to be able to be here together on Erev Shabbos, be able to be mosik Mishabbos halachol, be able to, or mechol ala Shabbos, I should say, but Mishabbos halachol. It's just bizochem, Eretz Hashem, it's just, good. More about that, good. Steve, our sponsors, what? I can speak louder, I'll Steve, our sponsors.
I'm sponsoring tonight for Fula, Shreva, and Nechama from Luke, Lewis, Bethesda, Miriam. And separate from that, we wish Brother Robert go. Robert, we wish Robert Goldsborough a Mazel Tov on his upcoming wedding.
Mazel Tov! Mazel Tov! Mazel Tov! You get a little bit of learning. All right, to Osei. All right, Devosai, a good Erev Shabbos. Let's begin. We don't have a microphone this week, but I'm going to try it one more week without a microphone before we have to give in to the microphone. But all right, so first of all, again, a tremendous Mazel Tov to Elio. Come join us this Shabbos. We'll be celebrating Elio's Ofruf here at the shul. Again, he doesn't know this yet, but the friends of Elio Rosebar are sponsoring the Kiddush in his honor, Amir Tzah Hashem, for his Ofruf. It's on my bill. So, again, Sahara, please feel free to join us. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful simcha. So we'll say, so let's continue. So first of all, again, also a thank you to our annual commentator sponsor, the Tilson Mishpacha of Eretz Yisrael, for dedicating all the Shir Midrashos this year, the entire year, in the Schos of Asura, Tovos HaAm Yisrael. We hope that in the merit of our commentator, our hostages will, Emirat Hashem, continue to come home, B'Shalom and B'Karov, and our holy soldiers will be successful, B'Chol Ma'asei Yedehem. We'll say with that, let us begin. So tonight we are picking up at Emirat Hashem in section Mem Dalid. a really incredible and beautiful piece ahead of us tonight. Again, a little bit of a complicated piece. You'll see why complicated, just because it requires a little bit of eon, a little bit of introspection, a little bit of understanding. So the Rebbe says as follows. The Rebbe says incredible. In Ritzoncha Lilmol Shelo Lishma. Then I want to tell you, just as an aside, you know, generally when I give a share, so you always try to figure out how much ground you want to cover. Right? So I've yet to meet my expectations, right? Right? But well, I'll tell you what I find is something absolutely amazing, which is that sometimes you don't get to something 1 week, and then you get to it a different week, and exactly when you're getting to it is like exactly the moment that it comes together. And the reason I'm saying that, Shalom Aleichem Chavra, good evening, good evening, good Neder Shabbos. The reason I'm saying that is because just this morning at Daf Yomi, we had a whole sugya about drosh the kabel schar, about the power of learning Torah. And it happens to be that the piece that the Piagetzin was talking about over here is the power of learning Torah. And what it means, look what he writes. He says, in Sunha, lilmod shalo lishma, shetaval ayideh lishma. So Rebbe says like this, what's my goal? My goal, this is an incredible piece, but look how he words it. He'll say, what's our goal? When it comes to Torah, what's our ultimate goal when it comes to Torah? What's the ultimate goal? Right, learn the Shema. So it's interesting, by the way, one could answer this question in many different ways. What's the goal when learning Torah? The goal could be, you know, lilmod almanas lasos. The goal is to learn so that I can do. The goal could be lilmod almanas lelamed. To go ahead and learn in order to teach, so I could share what I learned. But the Rebbe says over here, the truth is, on a most basic level, the goal is Torah Lishma. What does Torah Lishma mean? Torah Lishma means is that I'm learning and I'm imbibing the beauty of Torah. Why? Why? What does it mean, Lishma?
Just do it for you.
Just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Or just to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole concept of Lishma, and the reason why Lishma is so difficult, as we're going to see, is because Lishma means I'm not doing it for me. There's no self-interest over here. It's all about some higher purpose. So why am I? What does it mean to learn Torah Lishma? Learn Torah Lishma means because not even to create a relationship with Hashem, because to create a relationship with Hashem is something I'm doing for me. Torah Lishma means Chesh Baruch Hu told me to learn His beautiful Torah, and that's ultimately, again, what I am doing. That's what I'm going to do. So let's listen to this. If you want to learn, if he wants to, but look how he phrases it. In Ritzoncha Lilmot Shelo Lishma, Shetava Ayida Lishma. Now, literally translated, it means, if you want to learn Shelo Lishma, now what does Shelo Lishma mean? How would you translate Shelo Lishma?
Ulterior
motives. For example?
So people can say great Talmud
Chacham, right? Covet, honor, titles, glory, money, whatever it might be. So the Rebbe says, if you want to learn Torah Shelo Lishma, in order to get to Lishma. Now, I just want to point out, remember, Jose, so much of the beauty of the Piagetzin's words is how he chooses to say things, right? So just to understand, the topic over here is how do you get to a level of learning Torah Lishma? Torah Lishma. That's the goal. But look how he phrases it. If you're going to learn Torah Shelo Lishma, in order to get to Torah Lishma, what is the Piagetzin teaching? Before the Rebbe even gets into the topic, what is he teaching us? What he's teaching us is there are no shortcuts to spirituality. If you want to get to the level of Torah Lishma, by definition, what does it require? What does it require? Going through Shelo Lishma. There are no shortcuts to spirituality. I will say, I think sometimes one of the hardest things for us to wrap our head around is, you know, like, we live in a world where there's like, right, we're always looking for a hack, right? There's always a hack, right? Like, you know, like come on, how can I take something that's big and just condense it into a relatively easy, non-difficult, you know, non-multi-step process? And the truth is, for a lot of things in life, you can do that. Klal Gadol is, for anything that is meaningful, there is no hack. Let's say, how do you build a beautiful marriage? You're like, I have no idea. Right? Getting a lot of blank looks over here. So again, how do you build a beautiful marriage? It's effort. It's work.
It's work. Right? I'm sorry?
Never get married.
I'm not repeating it. I'm not repeating it. Right? It's effort. It's effort, right? It's just a tremendous amount of effort. Think about anything that is meaningful to you. Right? You know, sometimes Allah, you see this with young people, when they think about what do they want to do in life. You ever hear a person say, what do you want to do? I want to be rich. Well, being rich is not an occupation, right? There are some people who just like stumble into money. It happens, definitely happens. But for most people, it's not like that. For most people, being rich, Havai Vishal Abizocha, is the result of a tremendous amount of work. Tremendous amount of work, or at least a lot of smart decisions. Maybe you can minimize the work, but a lot of smart decisions. Anything that's big in life requires effort. And I think contemporarily, you know, one of the hardest things that it's interesting, we spoke about this before, every generation has its challenge. Right? So, I say this often, thinking about this now a lot, it's my grandmother's yard site, Yard Hashem on Matzi Shabbos, and Tent of Shat. And she, you know, my grandparents came to this country, I mentioned this many times, it's like, my grandfather, Zichron Levracha, would not work on Shabbos. He would not work on Shabbos. So every single Friday, he was given an ultimatum by his employer, and he found whatever job he could. He was an immigrant who came in after the Holocaust. And they said, Mr. Weiss, either come in on Shabbos, come in on Saturday, or there's no job for you on Monday. And every Erev Shabbos, he lost his job. Every Erev Shabbos, he lost his job. Now, the payout for that is that Baruch Hashem, he has multiple generations of descendants that he could look down on from Shemayim, who are Shomer Shabbos. If you make the necessary sacrifices, you'll get the results. That's the way it works. The reason I'm saying this is because in my grandfather's generation, I think even probably like in my father's generation, Shabbos, outwardly presenting as a Jew, was like a big thing. Was like a really big thing. So today, Shabbos is not a problem. Right? Today, outwardly presenting as a Jew is not a problem. So our challenge often is inspiration. Right? Learning is not a problem because you can learn whatever you want. Our challenge often is inspiration. I would say, but the challenge is not an inspiration. What's the challenge? The challenge is I want to be inspired. I just don't want what? I don't want to work. I don't want to work. That's why, again, everybody loves like the little videos. Ah, did you see that video? It's so inspiring. I'm not going to take a poll. I will take a poll. How long does the inspiration from videos usually last you? How long? About the duration of the video. Well, and it's very simple. You could get a quick pick-me-up, and that's beautiful, and it's incredible, and it's important. But Lamaisa, true lasting inspiration only comes from effort. And effort means a lot of hard work on the front end. You know, I think we've often said that the pathway to inspiration is paved with continued, right? That's true also. But as I was saying, the pathway to inspiration is paved with continuous uninspired activity. That's the way it works. The pathway to inspiration is paved with uninspired activity. That is the way that it works. You want to reap the benefits? You have to be willing to put in the effort. But if I'm not willing to put in the effort, I'm ready to be inspired. Shkoyach, very nice that you're ready, but you're not going to be inspired. Like many people, they spend their lives in a state of readiness. I'm ready for something big, but it's not going to happen because I'm not. So the Rebbe says over here, the first thing he says, just understand, if you want to get to Torah Lishma, the first step to Torah Lishma is Torah Shalom Lishma. Torah Shalom Lishma. Now, Moshe and I watch this. How makes that? Moshe, it's incredible. So what is Torah Shalom Lishma? What does that look like? What does Torah Shalom Lishma actually look like? Torah, not for the highest intentions and purposes. What does that look like? So let's listen to this. He says, Gurar, he says, Ha make as Schalcha Batorah. Again, make it an intellectual pursuit. Make Torah an intellectual pursuit, right? So in other words, immerse your intellect in Torah. I will say, we know, Torah is very enjoyable. Torah is incredibly enjoyable, right? Torah is intellectually rewarding. So what's Torah Shalom Lishma? Torah Shalom Lishma is intellectual Torah. So therefore, immerse your intellect in Torah. Girar, kol gargar seichal ha-shebecha. Gather up every little kernel of your intellect. Lashkia be'in ha-Torah. And immerse it in Torah. It's interesting, by the way, right? That's what the Rebbe calls Torah Shalom Lishma. intellectual Torah. Torah to satisfy intellectual curiosity. Torah because a lot of us enjoy being intellectually or mentally stimulated. That's Torah Shalosh Shas. Rabbi says, okay, lean into it. Lean into it. Go with it. Go with it. Commit yourself in totality to Torah Shalo Lishma. Kilomar, look what he writes. And both say, this is incredible. Ki ikar kushyas halimud lishma. Now, what is the general problem with Torah Lishma? Or the truth is, it's not just Torah Lishma. What's the general problem? What's the general problem with doing anything Lishma? So the Rebbe says, Kilomar, I'm sorry. He says, V'im b'shalo Lishma, kazeti tarit, kashal lavo the Torah Lishma. Okay, Kilomar, look what he writes. Kiger kushas halimud Lishma, Rabbi says, this is an incredibly profound idea. The Rebbe says, if we delve deep within ourselves, why do we do the things we do? Right? Why do we do the things that we do? Self-interest. It's all self-interest. Every single thing that I do because somehow it serves a need, it serves a purpose for me. And by the way, This is not a bad thing. This is just what it means to be a human being. Human beings by definition are egocentric, self-centered, and selfish. Right? That's why the most basic drive within people is survival, self-preservation. Because it's really all about me. It's really all about me, about what I need and how I need life to be. So therefore, even in ruchnius, even in spirituality, I'm happy to engage in it, but just what's in it for me? What's in it for me? He says, general, as I go through life, it's interesting, by the way, when you begin to look at this, you see it everywhere. You know, if Sham Shnofal Hirsch brings down, he says, people have a desire, like a natural desire to have children. What's the pshat with that? Right? Why does a person have a natural desire for offspring? What's the pshat? What's the pshat?
Legacy.
Rashad Shlomo says something amazing. He says, what do I want more than anything in this world? He'll say, if you could be given one wish, what would it be? One wish.
Immortality.
Everybody wants immortality. I want to live forever. So Rav Hirsch says, but you can't get immortality. What's the next best thing after immortality? Children. Because there's a piece of me that lives on afterwards. Children are formed. That's why, by the way, Rachmana Litzlan, the loss of a child, Rachmana Litzlan Lo Aleinu, is one of the most profound losses. Because what it is it's not just simply a parent losing someone who they love. It's a parent losing their future. The future that was supposed to outlive me has now predeceased me. So you see everything, even establishing a family. And one can make the argument that being a parent is one of the most selfless things that a person could do, right? Because you have to give everything to your kids, like literally everything to your kids, right? But Lamaisa, it's worth it. But why? Why? So we like to say because we love our children more than anything. Maybe. But it's also because our children provide something for us. Right? It's to be honest, even with our kids, it's not a selfless relationship. I may give to my children selflessly, but my children fulfill a very important selfish need for me. They endow me with an additional identity. They give me some form of immortality. So therefore, again, even in the most selfless relationship, parent to children, there's a selfishness. And again, I want to be clear. The Piaget is not saying this is a bad thing. I want to say it's not bad. It's not bad. It's not good. What is it?
It is.
It just is. It just is.
Even things like tzedakah, even given enough, it makes you feel good. So that's a kind of a selfishness.
Correct. That's the Piaget. And again, I want to be clear. It's not a bad thing. In other words, this motivates us to do a lot of things. In other words, right, I want to feel good. I give tzedakah, right? Even anonymously. So no one else knows. Right. I know. I know that I gave tzedakah. So 100%. And again, it's just human nature. Again, people do things for... And we'll say, that's why, by the way, we all know this. If you want people to do things, what do you need to do? You need to show them what's in it for them. Right? If you ask someone to do something, right, try asking someone for a selfless act. Right? So first of all, for sure, don't text them in advance saying, I'm about to call you to ask you to do something selfless, right? Because chances are they won't take your call, right? But myself, so they'll find a million. But if you explain to them, there's something in it for you. You're going to get something from it. Then Lamaisa, again, they will go ahead and they will do it. So the Rebbe says like this. He says, and his Lashon Rebbe is so profound. He says, Kilomar, ki ikar kushya salima lishma. What's the greatest problem with learning Torah lishma? And again, the Rebbe is talking about learning Torah, but you could plug this into anything. The greatest challenge we have with learning lishma is mipnei shenaf shosha adam morgeles lasos hakol letovasa. A person does everything for his own benefit. Mukefesi betavos ritzonios umachshavos liatzma. I am consumed by thoughts and desires that are self-serving. Now again, you know, when we hear thoughts and desires, we assume something illicit. He's not even talking about anything illicit over here. He's just saying the way we function is what's in it for me. And anything and everything that I do, just my default setting, is there's got to be something in it for me. I'll say, that's why, by the way, when you do run across selfless people, and they do exist, like, we're enamored by them. We're enamored by them because, like, what? Like, you just do because it's good? You just do because you want to give? You just keep giving because you feel Hashem Baruch Hu has put you... Like, we're very enamored by people like that, generally because it's such a profound anomaly. So the Rebbe goes on, he says, even if a person wants to learn Torah lishma, bo'os hashi'ifos li'atzma, u'ma'aklos etzharotzon l'tayba l'tzarcho p'niyosa. See, even if I sit down and I say, you know what, I want to learn lishma, what happens? My internal mechanisms activate. And when they activate, they're like, well, why are you doing this? Look, the Lashon over here. Even if I want to learn Torah lishma, bo'os hashi'ifos li'atzma. Those self-centered tendencies kick in. Uma'aklos es haratzon l'tayva l'tzarcho p'niyosa. And they literally ma'aklos es haratzon, which means they like divert my will to somehow make it self-gratifying and self-satisfying. So even if I sit down and I say, Ribono shel olam, I want to learn Torah lishma, or do anything lishma, the internal mechanisms of man are such that it's going to take that endeavor, it's going to take that initiative, and somehow figure out, well, how does it serve my needs? He goes on, he says, Umaya taiva batzma, and in general, what's taiva? What's it, right? Again, we have the concept of taiva, of desire very often. What is taiva? Ratzon stami. Taiva on a very simple level is just the desire, just the want, right? A person has a taiva, right? I have a taiva for some desire for something. It's a ratzon stami, it's just a stam desire. Ratzon shetzarecha adam alehem. Generally, a taiva means I have a want or a need for something. Again, like I said, we generally hear taiva. Taiva sounds like something immoral, illicit. That's not how the Rebbe is using it. Taiva just means I have a desire for something. In general, why do I desire something? Why do I desire something? Why? Because it fills my needs. Because I have a need that I need to fill, and therefore I desire the item that's going to fill that need. For example, hare avon ba'atzmo, hunger. Person feels hungry. Sha'adam margish lo mashal, eino dai lo, v'myechzer lo haratzon, lo yochin lo terem yargish es ritzono, v'lo yischar limtzo parnasoso, afkam lo yochal gamkin, kimo shiron mechalushe atzavim. So it's interesting, hunger, right? When does a person seek out food? When does a person seek out food? Not a true question. When they're hungry. When they're hungry, right? Right? When, right? When they're hungry, right? When they're hungry. That's when I seek out food. Now here's what's interesting. I know I'm going to be hungry, right? But it's interesting. Like, no one goes and prepares lunch at 10 o'clock in the morning and puts it on the table saying, you know what, by 1 o'clock I'm going to be hungry. Let me get this prepared. Now, I know what's going to happen. It's not like I get hungry. I'm like, what's going on over here? I want to eat lunch. No. Again, I knew this was going to happen. But yet, interestingly enough, what propels me to take action? What propels me to take action? Hunger. What's hunger? Taiva. It's a desire. Desire for food. So what happens when that desire awakens inside of me? I spring into action to remedy that need. And he says, that's why, by the way, you see, Kemosh Ram Bechalusha Atzavim. Chalusha Atzavim, someone who's depressed. What happens when someone, sometimes when someone's depressed, what happens? They don't have an appetite. They don't have an appetite. Right? Why? Where's the appetite? Because the ratzon is not there. The ratzon is not there. The taiva is not there. So we'll say, this is an incredible thing. Just the way we're wired. The way we're wired is, we're wired as self-serving beings. Wired as self-serving beings. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu programmed us. And that's why, again, taiva is I have a desire for something that I need to address a particular need that I have, and I spring into action when it's there. Shenechlash Ritzonim Shen Ochun Av Kishirabu Mikol Shekein Bisharadvarim Kigon Holadas Banim. Other things as well, having children. V'nasan Hashem Ba'adam Giroizeh Shenikra Ratzon. And Hashem put in us this thing called Ratzon. Ratzon is a will. Ratzon and taiva are synonyms. I have a desire to serve myself. Taiva, a desire, is when that will awakens inside of me. I have some need that needs to be met, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this ratzon in me. V'lo shish la'adam habir tzunos. So it's interesting, you know, people don't have like a lot of desires in life, right? There aren't like a lot of wills. Kigon ratzon lechol, ratzon lishtos, rak she'ifa pshuta yeshto lahadvarim shechaserim lo limalosam. The way it works is, Kadosh Baruch Hu programmed me, when I feel that something is missing, I will spring into action to try to fill that need. That's how it works. V'adavar, shenogea b'sha'ifa, moshachto ha'sha'ifa, b'nasa ratzon ha'davar hazeh, u'kiyam zoif hi'sha'ifa. Now, I will say, when you desire something, and when you want something, the Rebbe says, so just to understand the construct that the Rebbe is highlighting over here. So piece one of the construct, human beings are self-serving. Okay? Not an indictment, just the truth. And therefore, when do we do things in life? When do we do things in life? When they serve our needs. If there's something in it for me, I'll do it. If it's selfless, maybe I will, but chances are I won't. That's just the way that it works. Now again, now that I'm a self-serving being, therefore again, I have tithes, I have ritzonos, I have wants, I have desires. When are those activated? When I feel that something is missing inside of me, the taiva, the ratzon, is awakened, and now I want to fill it. The challenge is, says the Rebbe, that once the want and desire is awakened, often it can become like a tidal wave. Right? So suddenly again, what starts as, you know, I'm hungry for lunch, could turn into so many different things. He goes on, Kiyam zoif yashifa, galim storm emokom azev, tarfim svina. Sometimes a wave of desire could start as a relatively small wave, and then it could become large enough to capsize a boat. Ubemokom achem bolim behema, ach bekotsim refesh, turn the page, shin pei dalim. Lo yivachalu, im yivkunu adarkam, lo shikalim shonim heim, mehem sharevim levloa behema, o mehem svina, rak zaf echad yesh, zaf echad shalyam echad, I'm just reading a little bit. Okay, so therefore again, the challenge of course, and now I know that I'm a person who is focused on meeting my own needs. And I'll do things because they serve me in some way. I'm a self-serving person. Right? You see this all the time. Even people who have skills that benefit others, very often they don't use those skills to benefit others. I mean, I'm benefiting someone else, but really what I'm doing is, I'm benefiting me, right? I'm doing this. Everyone's enjoying it, everyone's benefiting, everybody's being uplifted by it. But at the end of the day, the service to the other is not what's motivating me. What's motivating me ultimately, again, is the service to the self. But so now what happens? So now that I know that I'm a self-serving being, then I have awakening of ratzon and of taiva to go ahead and meet certain needs. There's something missing inside of me. I don't want to feel deficient. I'm going to do things to help fill the deficiency. The challenge is that once I begin to do things to fill that deficiency, the taivas sometimes could get out of control. And they become like that wave that could swallow up everything. Skip down to the last paragraph. Vath, right, Vath, the paragraph right before Mem Hei. Vath, Kishalom Lefam Mishma. So listen to this, we'll say. So sometimes, so now let's take this a step further. So therefore, the Rebbe says it's like this. I want to get to a level where I learn Torah Lishma. And it was, I want to point out, the truth is, I want to get to a level where I do a lot of things Lishma. Right? Isn't that the goal? I want to be a husband Lishma. I want to be a father Lishma. I want to be a Jew Lishma. I want to do everything. So, but you got to start. How do you train that Lishma muscle? So the Rebbe says, the first thing is, understand who you are and understand what makes you tick. and understand why I do the things that I do. Now, okay, so what happens? So therefore, the first way to get into this is Tarshul Olishma. I'm going to learn. Why am I going to learn? For all the reasons we mentioned before, kavod and honor and knowledge and intellectual stimulation, and all of this is great. Okay, so now, but my hope is to kind of plow through that and get to a higher level. Vavki shalom elapamim lishma. And here's the interesting part that Rebbe says, and again, we're going to tie this together in just a moment, in one moment, literally. So, right, so the Rebbe says, you know, something interesting could happen, which is that sometimes you get to a level of lishma. Get to a level of lishma, and then what happens? Even once you're in lishma, sometimes you get pulled back into shelo lishma. So the Rebbe says, what do you do in those moments? He says, "Ratzon shel lishma b'shivas la'atzma b'pnius utach v'tavlis kardom lach parva mash'inkin mashkia es hashalom lishma b'limon shel iyun ki kol iyun molit hiskashrus." So the Rebbe says something amazing. The Rebbe says, so what's the key to Torah Lishma? What's the key? The key to Torah Lishma is Iyun. I will say, now Iyun, I just want to point out over here, doesn't mean the way, necessarily, if you have a yeshiva background, you think about Iyun. Right? He's not talking about learning a sugya b'Iyun. What does he mean by Iyun? We'll see in just a moment. When you learn b'Iyun, you're able to graduate from Shalom Lishma to the Shema. The midu zu gam sheifaso the gure chayiv nishka b'limudo mistara le'edro misave balamatzo v'kasher tavas atzmusa p'niya nedro. Okay, let me say this, rest of this outside just because of time. So we'll say, remember I mentioned to you that sometimes you don't get to a piece in the Piaget because Chesh Baruch didn't want us to get to this week. Just this morning in Daf Yomi, we had a most incredible Gemara. The Gemara is talking about Sreifa. That's the topic of death by burning. Again, we'll get more into the details of that in Meretz Hashem tomorrow morning. Right, Sreifa. And the Gemara is going through all these different halachos. Who gets Sreifa? When do they get Sreifa? Bas Kohen and Arusa and the Sua. Again, all the different sugyas. And then you remember again, the Gemara comes along, Rabbi Yosef comes along. And what does Rabbi Yosef say? Rabbi Yosef says, guys, why are we doing this? Why are we learning this? Hilchasa l'mashicha. Hilchasa l'mashicha. Right? What does Hilchasa l'mashicha mean? Hilchasa l'mashicha means, at the end of the day, this is only applicable in the Messianic era. This is not applicable now. Right? We don't have a Sanhedrin. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, you can't administer capital punishment. So why are we doing this? And what did the Gemara answer? The Gemara said, rather, eladrosh v'kabel schar. Learn it and receive reward. So how do we normally understand that? That there's a power to learning Torah for the sake of learning Torah, even if it doesn't yield a practical result. But I mentioned this morning, I think it's still true. There's a deeper meaning to that. What does Joshua Kabbal Schar mean? Joshua Kabbal Schar means learn Torah. And when you learn Torah, something amazing happens. Kabbal Schar means not schar for learning Torah. The schar is the transformative effect that Torah has on you. When a person learns Torah, they become someone fundamentally different. You understand, you know Rabbi Nachman, and this is going to be offensive to those who are Hasidically challenged. Rabbi Nachman says, if you come to a sugya in Gemara and you don't understand it, the Rabbi says, what should you do? Move on. Now that is intellectually offensive to any yeshiva guy. Move on. No, what are you talking about? Move on. Right? Come on. Get into it. The Rishon, the Achronim, this, the Chakiras, the Gondas, all this. Rabbi Nachman says, move on. Rebbe, how can you say move on if you don't understand the sugya? And what's the answer? The Rabbi Nachman would say, who says that Torah is about understanding what you learn? Who said that? Torah is about engaging in the process of spiritual growth. And the moment you set your eyes on the letter, and the moment your lips say the words, by definition, you are a changed individual. That's the pshat, drosh v'kabel schar. Just learn. And the schar, what's schar? The schar of self-transcendence, the schar of self-actualization, the schar of becoming someone fundamentally different, that's what you get. And I both say, that's the pish, that's the saying. The Rebbe is saying the same thing exactly over in this. We're going to end in this just a moment. That's what I'm saying. But I want to tell you something that's going to sound like a total anomaly, but it's still true. How do you get the Torah Lishma? How do you get Torah Lishma? Learn Torah Shalom Lishma. Meaning what? Steep yourself in a system of spirituality. Just keep at it. Just each and every day embed yourself in a system of spirituality. Whether again, that's Torah, that's Chesed, all of the above. Just embed yourself in Ruchnius. And when a person embeds themselves in a spiritual system, by definition, you become a changed person. That's what Rebbe means when he says, the way to get to Torah Lishma is through Torah Shalom Lishma. Keep learning, not for the right reasons, but you know what? You're learning. You're embedded. You're involved. You're attached. And then you will see one day what happens. The switch flicks? Change occurs, right? Change occurs, right? Something happens to the switch also, right? Change occurs. Everything changes. And there's not even a way to predict it. You just have to keep going. You have to keep plugging. You have to keep learning. You have to keep going. And at some point, at some moment, the Shalom Lishma becomes Lishma. And the Rebbe says that's the only way it works, because otherwise there's no rational way for it to occur. Because remember again, generally, right, everything we're doing is always in a self-serving fashion. It's always for our own benefit. Avi, don't let them start. We're going to be in there in 1 minute. Right? So everything we do ultimately, again, is for ourselves. But if I just keep embedding myself in a system of spiritual, and I was supposed to say, that's why, if you think about it, what is Yiddishkeit all about? What is Yiddishkeit all about? What is Yiddishkeit all about? One word, in one word, Yiddishkeit? All right, maybe many words, right? Many words, right? Right? It's consistency. It's showing up day after day. This, let's say, I'm not going to take a show of hands. I'll tell Chevra, how many of you have had a day in the last year where you davened three kavanas in one day with kavana? Three tefillos in one day with kavana. When was the last day you had a day that you davened shachris, mincha, and ma'ariv with kavana? I cannot remember the last day. I don't even know if I had one in my life. Where I dab, even Yom Kippur, right? Even Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, right? Some tefillos are better, some tefillos are worse. Whoever has kavana, three tefillos a day. It's okay. Because actually, it's not about the kavana. You know what it's about? It's about showing up. It's about being consistent. It's about embedding yourself in a system and believing that if you embed yourself in the system, one day, the light bulb goes off. One day, the Shalom Lishma turns into Lishma. One day I become self-transcendent and I'm no longer that person who only does things because they serve my own needs. But I do things for some higher purpose as well. I will say, Shkoyach, Ma'ariv in the Beis Medrash.